Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 557. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm cooking breakfast sausage right now.
Okay.
It's not breakfast time.
I mean, but I'm making it. You could eat breakfast food at any time of the day. So.
I'm not going to eat it. I'm just cooking it.
I'm confused. Earl is here.
I am not cooking breakfast food. If I was cooking breakfast food, I would definitely be eating it. Maybe I've been doing it wrong.
You are.
Are you preparing for like tomorrow? Or
yeah. So you know, my son has like orientation week at school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's getting up at the crack of dawn again, and I would like breakfast to be ready, like to be popped in the microwave as opposed to actually cook it at 6 in the morning. So cook it now, microwave it tomorrow.
That's fair. Are you like browning the edges of the sausage or?
It's links. So I'm just, you know, cooking them all the way through.
Nice.
Yeah.
So wait, orientation. What grade is he going to?
Sixth grade.
They do orientation for sixth graders?
For this school they do.
That is weird.
It's an interesting program that focuses on like arts, like making stuff and creativity. It's not like a normal, like it's not like any school he's been to before. So they have like a week where they kind of let him experience what that's like.
Very nice. So
he apparently with some other kids made a they didn't make a movie, they made a trailer for the movie.
Oh.
So that was their assignment for the week.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, Earl and I are not making breakfast sausage.
It's a shame.
For our children to have in the
breakfast
morning.
Breakfast sausage is delicious.
It is.
Breakfast sausages are good, and I think I will have some tomorrow, but I will make them tomorrow when I will eat them.
No need to for us to rush out the door and make orientation for our kids. So.
It's kind of like I've gotten so used to, like, during the pandemic, since the kids didn't have to actually go to school, like, who needs to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning anymore?
Right.
So tomorrow will be the first time I've woken up that early in like a year and a half.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss that when my kids go back. Like the hey, everybody get up. Like you have to be, especially the older kids that are going to the high school. Like get up. you gotta be ready to go by like 6:30.
I feel bad for the kids, like especially the older ones, because they're like biologically that's not a good time for them to be waking up and learning things.
Right.
And like there's a lot of data on that, and they still never changed the schedule. But during COVID, it was fine because the kids were like basically like they didn't start school till what 9:30, and they didn't have to go anywhere to do it.
Right. Or if they were starting early, like my kids were, it was like. You just kind of like open up your laptop and you don't put the camera on.
That's right.
You just sit there. Yeah.
I mean, part of it was like, I mean, I think the school schedule is designed around the way that parents can drop off their kids in the morning. Ironically, not the other way around, though, because you can't pick them up after school because they're done way before.
Right, but normally they have like activities and stuff after school, so. Right? I hope so. Maybe.
I mean, some
people, yes. Sure. It's not super common. It's a limited, but it still is kind of the same issue. Because, I mean, then depending on their age, when they're younger, it's always like, oh, do you want your kids alone at 8, walking home from school at 6 p.m.?
Well, a lot of times they use that as a source of revenue, too. Like, oh, you can leave them here for another 2 hours, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah, and that's also a problem. It does benefit those who can afford to send them away for, I don't know. It's always weird to me because it's like, it feels like sometimes it's like parents are just trying to avoid spending time with their kids. Though a lot of times it's not that. It just comes off that way.
Yeah, it's not that you're trying to avoid. It's just like no, I have to be at work until 6 o'clock or 5:30 or whatever. And so yeah, you like try to find stuff for your kids to do during that time. I could definitely see how somebody would be like, "What the kid? Your kids are in all these things. Like, you're never with them." Like,
yes, of course, because I'm at work.
Right,
making money for all the things that.
Yeah, it's a weird conundrum. Like, it's like I have to work to pay for daycare so that I can
go to work.
It's a terrible cycle. But yeah, school's starting back up, so
we hope.
Well, I mean, the school will happen whether kids are there or not. That's debatable.
It's starting to look more and more doubtful.
Yeah. Although I guess in Florida and Texas, like it all.
But they don't care if you're alive or not. Yeah. They're gonna have classrooms of corpses or something. I don't know what they're gonna do.
And some of these school districts are just being really stupid. Like the one we're in actually sent out a letter saying that they're not requiring masks or vaccinations, even though, like, and this is right after the CDC had put out their guidance that kids should wear masks in school. We're following the guidelines. You're not, though, because the guidelines clearly state now that they recommend for kids in school that they wear their masks.
That's right. So you just lied to us. What else?
Yes, you're in Florida, and you know you're gonna get defunded if you have people wearing masks.
Right. So.
Well, what state was it? I'm trying to remember. Mississippi, Arkansas, maybe Arkansas, where the governor was like apologizing because they passed the law.
Oh, God, that was so awful. Mandate
they wear masks.
And then he was just like, if I had known. Like, yeah, don't pass. Like, why pass a uniform mandate then? Being like, you can't have mask mandates in the future.
So stupid.
Such a dumb thing, too. Like, it's a piece of cloth. Put it over your face, and it doesn't hurt anything.
That's right. You'll be fine. You will make it.
And the people arguing about kids, especially the ones that don't have kids, are the ones that really annoy me. But kids adapt like really, really well.
They do.
Like, we're the ones that are like, I don't want to do this because I don't want to do this.
Right.
Like, kids are used to like rules and having restrictions put on them. So this is so dumb. Oh, but it's video games, right?
Is it?
There are things that exist. Well, you guys, I mean, Earl, you've been away, so not much gameplay for you.
No, I am still technically on vacation. I am literally just home today, and I got home yesterday to go back on the road tomorrow. So yes, I have, and you would think all this travel, I actually did the thing I did not think I was going to do, and I read. Not even video game books. So I read a novel on my trip to DC, and then I read a comic book on my way up from DC. So I forget if I talked about this. I don't. Timing is weird. Did I speak about Death Store when I bought that?
I don't believe so. You did say you bought it, but you hadn't played a whole lot of it at that point.
Okay, and then we're last week, but yeah, so far I've really, really been enjoying it. I mean, again, I've Xbox is stationary, so it's not. But yeah, I love the boss designs. The game is difficult, but it's not like hard. It's more like it kind of old school where it's pattern recognition with a lot of the bosses and kind of knowing enemy patterns and movements and knowing how to like counter that or dodge and when to attack. And like really, what happens with me is like, it does the thing where it will just introduce new enemy types to you, and you have to see how they attack to figure out what to do. And then once that happens, I'm like, I get it. I can work with you. And then how they, you know, amp up the difficulty is like, we'll mix in a bunch of different enemy types and stuff like that. Like there's one enemy in particular, there's one enemy that they have a hard shell. So the only way to kind of get to attack them is they roll into you, but if they roll into you, you dodge out of the way and they hit like a wall or a structure that will stun them and you attack them. There's one that if you get close to them, they will grab you. So again, you kind of want them to do the motion, because like once they do the grab motion, if you dodge out of the way, there's a decent amount of recovery time for you to attack them. There's some that dive bomb. I fought like a giant fortress, which is a, kind of one of the early sub bosses, which I just thought was a really cool design. And like it's this huge monstrosity, and it's just really nifty. And then one of my favorite things, and I'm sure other games do this, is like you have a bow and arrow. It's kind of like a Zelda game, but the bow and arrow by default only has like 4 shots. In order to recharge it, you have to do melee combat. So it kind of forces you not to stick to just like long distance, but it is nice that like, okay, I can do some long distance, go for some quick damage, roll back out, do some AA, you know, long distance, come back with AA. So again, it offers up a bunch of different strategies that tend to work. Good. The design is really nifty, and you know, it's kind of like a. It's kind of like a grayscale game, which again I think works in its favor for. You are kind of reaping the souls of the dead, and something went wrong with the door, and yada yada yada. But I would recommend it. And like I said, I think it's only an Xbox and PC title right now. It was $16 at launch. I think it's total now, but so far it's up there. One of my favorite games of the year.
Nice.
Ooh.
That actually sounds like a game Jeff would be into. Being as it's like kind of a little bit Zelda-ish, so. See if we can get him to play that as well. What book did you read while you were on vacation?
The Taken of Jake Livingstein. It was one of the books. It was somebody mentioned it on Twitter ages ago, and I went to buy something from Walmart, and you know like how you buy certain stuff, it's like spend $35 or something, get free shipping. So I threw the book in my cart to just kind of get over the hump for free shipping. This was back in like April or something, and I completely forgot about it until it showed up at my door. And I'm like, oh, I have a book. I'm going on vacation. Let me just bring it with me. Maybe I'll get through some of it. It's a YA novel, which they're enjoyable to this extent, but sometimes I just kind of feel like the way they're written doesn't always gel with me, because I feel like sometimes the plot takes the backseat to just being about something or, you know, like getting through it. So I felt like part, because the gist of the book is like there's a dude in, he's a black guy in, I forget what part of the country, but he's like one of the few people in the, you know, one of the, I think he's the only black guy in his school along with his brother, but he's also a medium. He can kind of see ghosts and see the spirit world. And he comes across like the ghost of a school shooter, essentially a guy who shot up his school the year before, but because his heart was full of vengeance and hate, he hasn't crossed over. So the ghost is trying to take over his body to then use it to kill other people in the real world. And that's kind of the struggle of the book. So yeah. And it's, I don't know if it all comes together at the end for me, but it was a quick enough read. Like I said, I did most of it on a 3-hour train to DC. So yeah,
nice.
That's, I think for my trip tomorrow, I'm gonna crack open my Iwata Ask book, or Ask Iwata. What is it called? It's called Ask Iwata. Yes. Which is like a combination of the Iwata Ask and some other insights from him.
Nice. So maybe we'll have a
book review,
a video game book review.
Ooh,
but like an actual book, not like a novelization of Resident Evil or something. So, Tony, you play anything this week?
So oddly, I started playing for I have no idea why, because probably just for like Microsoft Rewards points. I started playing Skyrim again.
I did that too, just to get the opening achievement, but
yeah. This game is still really awesome. I really like it. I remember playing through the when they upgraded it to Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And like playing through and looking at the world and being like, everything seems like so, like the textures all seem off. They all seem flat, and like clearly game technology has left this engine behind. So I'm playing through it now. I don't know if they have upgraded things since then, because I'm playing on my Series X. It right. looks so, so much better. I really don't remember the game being this attractive. Like, obviously, it looked fantastic on my Xbox 360. But for some reason, like, they have done something to it, because I haven't downloaded any mods or anything. I'm playing like standard Skyrim, and it looks great.
I wonder if it got one of those boosts that they were doing for some games.
Yeah, maybe. It's very possible. Another thing is, it's been so long since I played it, I don't remember anything. So it's kind of like, I remember like very basic parts of the storyline, and like I remember like the Mage College is here, and I think the werewolf people are over here. Like, I just remember things very generally, so it's been so long. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not quite experiencing it for the first time, but it's close.
Like re-exploring it and refamiliarizing yourself with right. it. It's good.
Like beating the dragon for the first time and absorbing the power, and like getting your shout for the first, like, that stuff's still pretty cool. It makes me really want the next game to come out. I hope that happens one day. One day soon.
It's probably a ways off. But, yeah. It's what, Starfield? Starfield's next. Yeah, that was, you got like 500 extra rewards points.
Yep.
For getting an achievement and like from that list of games. And I think that was the only one I didn't have like an easy achievement like from. So I popped that in and played that opening again, which is still really good.
Right.
It's a fun opening. And good way of doing the character creator too. We're going to kind of interrogate you, and why are you here, and what are
right.
you? cool. You play anything else?
I played some more Mass Effect 2, which is still really, really good.
Yeah.
I've been talking about that a lot.
So 20 sets we have in the Xbox 360 generation.
And some more Apex Legends, because why not? The new season started this week. I have not played since they started the new season, because the first few days are always horrifying.
Little buggy and mess.
So I've been staying away till they fix everything, so I'll probably get into it tomorrow. This is the first time though, so I spent $8 to get the season pass for I think season 4 of Apex. Mm-hmm. This past season was the first time I didn't play enough Apex to earn enough gold coins to get the next season for free. So I'm gonna have to actually buy this season. Dig in and get another $8 from somewhere.
You know, $16 over 3 years is
pretty probably good. Like, I haven't looked at how many hours I spent in Apex, but it's probably like 500.
Oh God, it's like I don't want to go how much time I spent in Fortnite, because yes, I paid the initial. I think Fortnite is $10. I paid that over a year ago, and I've given them money since then, because I get the Fortnite crew every so often. Because it gives you 2 new skins, and then I gave them the $10 initially, and I've earned enough every season to keep it going for the past, I think, 14 months now. So I just feel bad about myself.
All right. I mean, you're like, it's not like you guys aren't enjoying playing those games, so.
Right. It's fine.
Speaking of battle passes, Halo Infinite's going to have a battle pass.
That's not surprising.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, it's there's a battle pass in Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, technically speaking, it's not a battle pass, but Halo 5 already kind of had that weird card system for it. It was more randomized. I guess the battle pass helps, but I think that's the way they can. What is it? They want to. I mean, inherently, I don't think battle passes are bad. I think the positive, and I could be mistaken, I think Halo's doing it so that no matter what, you can always get the stuff that was in a battle pass. Because sometimes, and this has happened with Fortnite, I can't speak to Apex, is that you'll see somebody wearing his costume or skin, and it's or a gaton, and it's like, oh, this was like from season one, so you can't get it now. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of disappointing that like, if you weren't like a day one ride or die, that you missed out on content that you would be willing to give the money for.
Right. Yeah.
But I think
Halo, well, at least for, I don't know if Infinite's going to be the same way, but Master Chief Collection, like you can access all their seasons, and then as you level up, you can like spend points on like the rewards you want. Still progresses linearly, but like, so if you like don't like, you know, season four or whatever, because it was Halo 1, but you want the Reach stuff, you can spend your points there, I guess. Halo Infinite has it's a battle pass. It's like you get boosts, you get cosmetics, experience boosts or challenge rewrites. It seems like a normal battle pass. And I got to level 19 out of 20 in the technical preview that just happened. So that's a good Halo game, or will be a good Halo game when it comes out. It feels real good. It took me a little while to adjust the controls. I did not like the default controls. They were a little too Call of Duty-ish, and I kept using Melee when I did not want to, because they had moved Melee to the stick. But once I kind of like flipped it back to the classic controls, which aren't necessarily fully classic controls, but they work well enough. That game works really well. It's a nice slide function when you run. So again, running is back for the third game. Now I guess some purists are going to be like, oh no, running.
How dare you run?
But I think it feels good. I thought it felt good in five too. There is the clamber, so you can like climb over like, or climb onto like small ledges or up like small ledges and jump up to them. That's all back. So you have some verticality to the motion. The maps are cool. They introduced three during the technical preview. They aren't, I like the maps in five, but I know a lot of people kind of complain that they were more kind of like virtual arenas than, like, and they looked that way. Like they looked like something you would create to be a virtual arena if you were fighting in it. These look like real war zones. Back like they did in, you know, Halo 4, 3, 2, all the previous Halos. These maps look like that. They're well designed. Some cool new features, like your AI will be like, oh, sniper rifle is coming up in a little bit. And then there'll be like an icon that kind of like points you to where it is on the map. So if you want to go, like it'll push people towards like where the power weapons are, which is kind of classic Halo multiplayer. Like, you know, you want to get the rocket launcher, you want to get the shotgun. So being able to kind of, everybody knows that is respawning now, so it kind of like pushes combat there. I don't know, plays really, really well. And their bots are pretty damn good. They've added in bots that you can play against. You know, if you play with other people, so like it's like, you know, 4-on-4, but it's a team of four against a team of four bots of varying difficulties. And their Spartan level bots, which was the last one they introduced during the preview, are tough. They're like legendary difficulty enemies. So it feels like you're playing like an actual match against real people. So some really cool stuff going on there. I think that piece of Halo will launch this year. I don't know about the single player, but I think we will see the multiplayer sometime in the next couple months. So. And I think there'll be more technical previews and betas for people to jump in. So hopefully you guys get a chance to play some of it. Let's see what else. Played some of The Ascent, which Jeff has also played, and you know, Firm Walt was playing some of that as well.
I downloaded it.
Yeah. Do you like Diablo?
Diablo's fine.
Yeah. Do you like twin stick shooters? A little less on that. That's what it's cyberpunk Diablo, but the combat is all like twin stick shooter. So think Diablo 3, but like the I think it's the witch hunter or demon hunter class. She's the archer, kind of like that. Like, but all of the it's all ranged combat. You have like two different guns. There's like there's like these augments you get that are like special abilities, and they're pretty cool. So you can like have like a melee smash, but you need it to charge back up. Like, there's a cooldown on all of them. The game's fun. I've hit a wall in it where I am stuck. You have to complete like this gauntlet. It's like it's timed where enemies are coming in for a certain period of time. And there's no way to like heal yourself without drops from the enemies. So you need them to drop like health packs, and that's random. So if they're not dropping health packs or health nuggets, you aren't refilling your health. And I am stuck in like towards like the back of the game, and I can't advance because I'm not getting the drops. And I just don't have, like, they're just ripping through me. They send so many enemies. So I may be done with it very shortly, but up until then, it was kind of fun. Like, very, very good looking game. Gameplay is kind of cool. And then the other thing I played was Microsoft Flight Sim.
Oh boy.
It's hard to like, it's a really cool thing there. And there are like game challenges. Like there are definitely things to do in the game. It's not just, I don't know if you've been following Jeff at all or Sean, like they just
taking pictures
like,
of random places.
Yeah. They like, just like fly around.
Why am I doing this?
And I mean, it's cool. Like, you know, like Jeff flew over Disney World and he like found like individual rides. Like he was able to like spot from the air, and that's cool. But if you're not into kind of like exploring the natural wonders or Disney World, you may get less out of it because otherwise you're flying a plane and guess what? Once you're up in the air, like there's a lot to pay attention to, but you're still just kind of flying your plane. Like I find it intriguing. And enjoyable, but I can definitely see where some people are going to be like, this is not for me. I don't want to do this. And I also 100% know I will never fly a real plane because it is way too damn complicated. And I'm playing on easy and it's like, this is tough. And that means like, I don't have to pay attention to a lot of the different gauges and, like a lot of things are just simplified and automated for me. Like once you start going up, like you can actually put it on. So it's like, you are flying a real plane, but there's so much to pay attention to. It's like, it's amazing that we are able to get off the ground at all. Like just, it's insane. The way like some of it's just counterintuitive. Like when you land, you have to pull up on the stick, which pulls you back up in the air. But if you push down, you'll actually flip your plane. Which sounds really bad. And then flying those really big planes it's a nightmare. Like a lot of that is just automated. Like once you're up in the air, you can kind of set autopilot and it'll handle a lot of it for you. But those things don't land on their own. and there's like a lot of things that you have to keep in mind when you're pulling in and, is it JFK that's airport in New York that's kind of on the river?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
I mean, it's not Zeta because I go through JFK constantly. It's a great airport. If you get there, I mean, it's a huge airport.
It's big, but it is amazing pulling in. You know, there's a challenge. There's a landing challenge, and it's high wind, and you're trying to land this plane, and it looks like, I mean, it's a normal size runway. But if you're off like a millimeter or like you kill everybody. It's like I've landed in the Hudson River. I think it's the Hudson, right? Right there where it's at. I've landed in the river there. I've overshot it. And granted, to be a pilot, like, you know, you don't have 6 hours of training with an Xbox controller.
Yes. And also, I mean, in my experience, and I don't know if they get, like, basically what they do is you kind of take like a spiral approach. You do a big circle and the circle gets narrower and narrower because that's how you kind of know it's on the waterfront, because you tend to see it, because they don't come straight in most of the time. They go over the water.
Yeah. But like, in fact, that like one of the things the game does really well, or the simulator does really well, is teach you the basics of like actually flying. So like it slowly builds you up, and it's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. It's like, you're going to take off and you're going to like fly to this point, and then you're going to fly back, and you're going to actually do the landing pattern, which is, it's not just, all right, found the strip, dive in and hit it. It's like, there's procedures that you follow. There's like a pathway, like there's no roads in the air, but that like pilots are flying like at certain protocols and certain heights to hit these marks. And that's all really fascinating. Real pilots are amazing. That's what I've learned from playing this game. And I'm glad that they have put so much time into doing it properly, because they should not let me fly them. That is for sure. Let's see. I guess we'll hit some news here. Activision Blizzard is still a nightmare.
I think it's even more of a nightmare because we asked for. I don't remember what we spoke about when we did.
So we had just gotten the report that, you know, the state of California had filed a lawsuit against them for their terrible workplace culture. And over the last 2 weeks, it has become more and more of a shit show. The one executive, Fran Townsend, I believe her name is, she's the chief compliance officer for Activision, and former Bush administration official. She was a big defender of torture.
So, yeah.
She's somebody you want working for your video game company. in compliance at that. she made some statements, and she reposted an article from The Atlantic about how whistleblowing is bad. I feel that is what she was trying to imply. I don't believe that maybe the article was necessarily stating whistleblowing was bad, but I think her intention was very much that this is why you shouldn't be whistleblowers or whatever. She started blocking employees from Activision who were calling her out. And her Twitter account is now completely gone.
Yes. So how bad is it that you were literally in an administration that tortures people? Like, people on the internet hate you, but you've gotten to a point where you're now dealing with like gamers, and they're worse.
Yeah,
you're dealing with gamers.
they're so bad they literally chased you off the internet. Good work.
I guess J. Allen Brack, who was in charge of Blizzard, he has left the company to pursue new endeavors. I guess that's one way of looking at it. It seems like he may have been forced out, being as Blizzard was a big part of this lawsuit. Like a lot of the workplace culture there was definitely under Blizzard, though Activision not clear out of this, right? Like the person who committed suicide was from the Activision side of things. This whole thing's a nightmare. Bobby Kotick hired, I guess, like the employees were like, we want to have an independent audit firm come in, like a third party audit firm come in and review everything. And so then he hired like this union busting law firm to be like, yes, I found a third party law firm. It is these people that have helped Amazon not have unions. You should definitely reach out to them and tell them your experiences here. The whole thing seems, it's crazy. It's nuts. And I guess the employees also had a walkout last week, which I missed most of that. But they walked out for a day. Yeah, the more this, as each day goes on, it just seems more and more shit is piling up. So we'll see how that all. I mean, I hope things change there. I just don't.
Well, the problem is like, because that's, you kind of mentioned like stuff that's external, like the internal stuff is, we did. I don't know if we mentioned the Cosby Suite.
No, we did not do that. Jesus, like everything. So much has happened.
Yes. So the Cosby Suite, where it's like, oh, we named it because the furniture and the, and then you see pictures of the furniture and it looks like a hotel room.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
And then there was the IT guy who had the camera in the bathrooms.
Yes.
What else was there? Was something else that came out, but I'm like, there was the there was a woman who came out and said that like, there was that really stalkery dude who sent her the letter in the parking lot about being matching up with her and how, you know, he understands why she doesn't give him the time of day or whatever. And it coming out that he's done that with other women, or he's used his, I forget which one it was. It was actually somebody with a name at Blizzard. And I'm just like, wow. Like just, I mean, you would hope there's any fix in this company. I honestly think you'd have to clean house on like the entire executive team. Because it seems like a draw into the core. Like you had the Cosby Suite, for example. And one of the people in the picture is HR.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting. And my fear is that, in a month or two, people are going to kind of like forget about it, and they're going to, they're going to pick up Diablo 2 Resurrected. They're going to pick up the new Call of Duty and just be back to pay, like, and yes, like, but buying those games doesn't necessarily state like, hey, I'm supporting them, but certainly not, it's not giving any sort of message to Activision Blizzard either, that you need to make a change. Although maybe the sponsors they're losing they lost three major sponsors in the last 24 hours to their Overwatch League. So maybe that'll be the thing that kind of turns it, or the fact that their stock price is starting to tank. And then, if stockholders' money is being impacted, that they're going to start demanding something, even if it's just like on the surface changes, but it could mean that the terrible reign of Bobby Kotick is over. So
no,
he'll probably get a fancy cushion parachute, and he won't be like the stand-in to a president, but he'll get some like interim, like, board of directors chair or something stupid like that. So because you still want him around, you just don't want him in day-to-day operations, I guess.
Probably like that. That's what I fear is going to happen here. It's a shame. It's like there's a lot of people that work for Activision, and it's clear that it's not just them either. Like Ubisoft came out and said that, last year all those accusations kind of came out, and 500 Ubisoft employees signed send an open letter stating that things haven't really changed there since that all happened. And then falling in under this, Fulbright, which is a small studio, seems that studio has kind of been struggling a bit because they're one of their co-founders and former CEO, not necessarily like sexual harassment or anything, but he was just toxic and like very microaggressive, I guess, to female employees. And he has stepped down, so that's good. But the video game industry is kind of gross right now. Probably always was, but now it's all just coming to light. So
yeah, well, I mean, I think the problem is like, I feel like some of this stuff has we've had the rumblings of it before.
Yeah.
Going back to the Cosby suite, because I think about that one because I wanted the name, but also the fact of the matter is, like, it wasn't discovered by any kind of like snooping or investigated. Literally, these people were posting this on Facebook. Like, it was out there in the public's eye for 8 years, and nothing really came of it because they realized that they were untouchable. And I think there's a lot of stuff like that has gone on. Because it was stuff like, it was the Cosby suite. There was the interview at like a BlizzCon where they asked.
About the costumes in World of Warcraft. Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of that stuff gets buried or doesn't get covered, or the people who bring it up are being too sensitive. It's just a joke, you know, whatever, to dismiss it. And then you see that stuff in hindsight with the knowledge that we have now. And it's just like, why wasn't this getting more coverage? Why weren't more people angry when this happened? And it's like, I'm sure this goes on at other companies. I'm sure Activision Blizzard, for example, a few of the people at that company have not gone on to Riot. Do you think they behave themselves at Riot now?
Right.
And they probably went to those positions, organizations with even higher positions and more power. And you're not going to get rid of them because you just sign them to these fancy big contracts.
Yep. As video game consumers, I'm not really sure what we can do.
That's the hard part, I think, too, because like, as a consumer, for example, like, I could say I'm gonna, you know, like, not buy Ubisoft and Activision games, but I'm just like, that doesn't change anything because I don't buy Ubisoft and Activision games.
Right. Like, but even if you did, like, you doing that doesn't hurt them. Like, it doesn't hurt the people that need to be hurt by this, right? Like, because if Call of Duty sells, you know, 4 million less copies this year, they're not going to fire Bobby Kotick and the executives that have been allowing this shit to go on. They're going to fire 300 people from Treyarch.
Yes. Because it's not the people. It's not the people who need to be punished. It's the people who you end up inadvertently hurting. It's the same way that, like, you know, like the defense of pirated movies is never like if people say like million, yeah, it's the people who work on them that you're hurting because those are the ones who need the money. Like, you're not going to hurt Scarlett Johansson by pirating Black Widow, or you're not going to hurt Disney, but you're going to hurt the editors and the CGI people and stuff like that.
Right. Oh, it's a mess. All right. So on, I don't know about happy news, but
happy.
On less dour news. It's not bad, I guess. There were some figures that came out about Mario Kart, and it sold 37 million copies. It's continuing to just outsell everything on that machine.
We're never going to get another Mario Kart game ever again. No more. Yeah,
I mean, to be fair, I mean, I think sometimes people forget that Mario Kart is Nintendo's biggest brand. I mean, as far as I can tell, it is probably one of the few spinoffs that Eclipse is its original, which is ironic because Mario is a franchise. Eclipse is its spinoff set as a Donkey Kong spinoff. But yeah, Mario Kart is a bigger seller than 3D Mario, 2D Mario, Smash Brothers, Zelda, Pokemon. You name it. It's like there are. I mean, I think the only game that sells consistently than it is a Grand Theft Auto. Mario Kart is the best-selling game on the Switch, the Wii U, the 3DS, the DS, the Wii. I don't think Double Dash is the best-selling GameCube game, but I'd have to double-check that one. But yeah, it is insane that this game, and this is just the Switch version. I assume like you take in the Wii U version and add another 10 million or so copies it.
Yep. And did they announce that the Switch was what about 60 million units sold now or something like that?
No. It's at 89.9 million.
80. Okay. So, but still, like a third of the people that are buying.
Yeah, it's insane.
that's an insane attach rate. You're right.
it's insane to think of. I mean, like, you look at all the other games that have come out with a lot more hype. And it's not even the hype. It's the fact that I believe it's also still the best-selling Switch game of the year in terms of, like, units sold this year. It is still the best-selling game on the system. And like I said, there are games that come out that will come out in 2021 that will not sell more than Mario Kart 8 Deluxe will in 2021. And this game is 4 years old. This game on the Switch is 4 years old. If you talk about the original version, we are, what, 7 years old now?
Yeah, I think so.
And the thing that I am always so fascinated is like it sells so well, and then no other kart racer, I'm not even going to say, no other racing game comes close to it. I think the closest thing is is Gran Turismo, and Gran Turismo sells like 10 to 12 million. Like you would think like Sonic All-Stars would do something. We've had Mickey Mouse Racers, we've had, you know, you're a big fan of Odd Nation. You've had wacky race games, and none of them, like, they will sell a fraction of what Mario Kart sold. And I'm not really sure why. I have the game, but I don't know what's so hard about copying that formula with other known IPs.
Yeah, you could probably take all those other kart racers and bundle them together and not reach what Mario Kart 8 has sold, like, let alone what that entire series has sold. It's crazy. But yeah, good for that. As Tony said, though, we're probably never getting.
No, I mean, why would you ever release Mario Kart 9? Why? There's no reason to.
I mean, like, I don't think there's any reason to release Mario Kart 9 on this system, but it exists. Well, and I think the other thing is, and this, I mean, for better or worse, I think this is one of the things that Nintendo has been decent at, is that you don't rush it out if you don't have a new idea. Like, everybody's gonna, I'm sure people are gonna, oh, that's just like, but yeah, like, you don't, like, you, like, what, like, we could sit here, like, what would you add to Mario Kart 9 right now if you had to? Heck, what would you add to Mario Kart 8?
Just new tracks, really. That's right. It.
That's kind of it. Like, you add more racers, you add more tracks, and what does that really add? Because there's so many already.
Like, I could see them doing what they did with Tour, and and the next Mario Kart having a system where you can unlock different costumes and stuff for characters, and I think that would be fun. I mean, ultimately, I think the evolution, I think 8 started that ball, incorporate more and more Nintendo franchises. Like, you have Link in here, the Inklings are in this game, Animal Crossing levels, there's F-Zero levels and stuff like that. And I do think that's what you start to do. But yeah, it's hard, and you look at even Mario Kart Live, they you know, people don't count it, but I'm like, it's them trying something different with the franchise.
Yeah. Add kart damage and fatalities. I want to behead Luigi. I hit you with this shell, it took your head right off. Bye. And then the next race, it's a zombie Luigi is behind you.
I'd be in for that. Just give me zombie versions of the Mario characters.
Yeah.
Let's see. Embracer Group, which owns Gearbox, THQ Nordic, Deep Silver. They bought a bunch of new studios again. They're becoming like this weird giant publisher. They bought 3D Realms, which is the Duke Nukem.
Have they done anything since Duke Nukem?
I don't think so. but they picked up Duke Nukem today, along with Ghost Ship Games, who did Deep Rock Galactic. I'm not sure. I don't know anything about that one. But yeah, so they're out there just slowly becoming this weird giant publisher of B tier games. Just strange. They also own Saints Row, Dead Island, Time Splitters.
Yeah, I mean, they basically own all the THQ's old IPs.
Yeah, and now they own Duke Nukem, so get ready for that, I guess.
But here's the thing, is that it's one thing to own properties, it's another to use them. And because they've owned a lot of them for a long time now. And we've been hearing teases of a new Time Splitter game for years. Like, I think they reformed Free Radicals to a degree. And that was announced like 2 or 3 years ago. Yes, granted, this COVID happened. But like, at some point, you need to stop buying stuff and actually selling stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you have to release stuff. Like, they bought the rights to Kingdoms of Amalur, and they re-released that game, but like, are you doing anything new with it? What are you doing with these properties you bought? Because we haven't seen anything from Saints Row or I guess Metro had a game not too long ago, so there's that. But yeah, you need to start doing it. Like, it's the complaint against Microsoft for a lot of it. It's like, they bought all these studios. Where's the work?
The beef?
Yeah.
And it's a shame. But yeah, I mean, I've been excited to do stuff with it, but I'm like, yeah, they're just taking their sweet time. And you would think you'd like put out products before just throwing more money at an industry that you haven't really gotten back your investment on yet.
Yep. I think that might be it.
Well, I mean, what was I going to say? I don't think it's official yet. I don't think Sony has said. No, they have said. Is that, I was going to say Days Gone. Ghost of, not Ghost of Tsushima. Wow.
Horizon.
Zero. Yes.
Oh, yep. Yep.
It's now 2022.
Are we surprised? I feel like we talked about this when it was showing the ass, is that they were very specific as to not putting a date in front of it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Not at all. I did not think that this was coming this year.
I'm saddened. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I think it'll be their big game next year.
Well, I feel like I feel like there's a bunch of big games next year. The problem is, again, this year, it's like, is there anything in the that I'm curious missing in the back half for them now?
No.
I mean,
I don't know, but anything, there's certainly nothing big that they have coming out. Ratchet was their big one.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, like, you know, they're selling everything that comes out. But yeah, it's like, it's weird to think about like going into the second holiday season. And really, I mean, Ratchet and I think Returnal were kind of the big games this year. They're like, we got updated sales numbers. I think they said that part of this week, they said what, there was 10.5 million PlayStation 5 sold. Mm-hmm. And I think 6.5 copies of Miles Morales. And then you got like Ratchet and Returnal. I think Ratchet is like 1. Something. Returnal is under a million. So there are people clearly buying the system, but not necessarily buying the software in a similar manner, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, that's actually a pretty good number for a Ratchet game.
But to be fair, that came out at the end of June, so it has time to build up. But it's like, yeah, you're selling this hardware without issue, but the software sales, at least for their titles, isn't necessarily matching the fevered interest that people have in just owning the system.
Right. You brought up Sony, and I guess there were a couple things that happened over the last week with them. Stupid one. Did you guys see that McDonald's
controller?
Yeah, that DualSense controller that they were trying to push out there. Sony stopped them from doing that. I guess McDonald's PR never actually reached out to Sony.
Wait, I don't know this one. What happened?
So there is a Sony, I don't know if it's a DualSense or they're saying PS5. So it must be a DualSense controller for PS5. It has French fries on it. The D-pad's yellow. There's a burger on the
right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like a Big Mac and fries.
Yeah. On the controller. And it's like red and white with the McDonald's logo on the touchpad. It's garish looking thing, but I'm like, you can't take your eyes away from it either if you see it. And this was Sony. This was McDonald's Australia was going to start giving away these controllers, and Sony put an end to that real quick because evidently McDonald's PR or McDonald's marketing did not reach out and get permission from Sony to do this. But yeah, so that was a funny little thing that happened over the last couple of days.
Well, good.
I don't understand how that happens. Like, do they not know they need permission? Right. Who did this? Like, I don't.
And McDonald's is a big, like, this isn't like a little, you know, like a little corporation being like, oh, we don't know the rules. Like, this is right. McDonald's, like one of the biggest corporations in the world.
I was gonna say, I mean, even aside from that, is that literally part of McDonald's business is licensees, because they have all those license deals with kids' meals and stuff like that. So they sure you know who to speak to about this stuff. So they have a whole division set up for it. So it's not like them being like, oopsie, we didn't know. Like, they've done toys with Nintendo. I think they've done toys with Sony before.
The whole thing is really weird. yeah, it's a mess. But somebody at McDonald's messed up, and I wonder if there's just like a box of the, like, not a box, like just like crates and crates of these controllers sitting somewhere in a McDonald's warehouse.
Probably.
I don't want one, but you really cannot take your eyes off it once you see it. It's really nightmarish. The other thing, I think we did not end up talking about it previously, but Sony released a beta update to the PS5 the update's not beta, but they released an update that allows for the access of the SSD storage slot, and so you can install an SSD. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Yeah.
The hard drive type thing.
But am I mistaken in this regard? Because again, I'm seeing it secondhand, reading some. Is that literally when you say install, you mean install?
Well, I mean install. You have to take apart the PS5.
Yes.
You have to unscrew stuff, and you're installing this hard drive onto the board itself, because SSD drives they almost look like RAM. In a way, they're like sticks. They're not a hard drive in the traditional sense. It's more like flash memory. So
yes, because it's fat. It reads faster than a standard hard drive.
Yeah.
So I guess the only people who are looking for expanded memories are probably the hardcore, because that is not my MO. And I've done it often, but I've had to go in and add hard drives, those pieces, to my computer in the past. And like doing that, and like having like the adhesive glues and all that other stuff, it's like, yeah, that is like, why are you making people do this?
I don't know. It gets worse. So you can't just go buy an SSD off the shelf, right?
Yes. Like,
it has to fit very specific specifications for this. And even then, Sony's not guaranteeing it'll work. And some of these SSDs, because they're running at such a, I want to say high speed, but it's, I guess that is what it is. And the speed creates heat. You need to dissipate that somehow. So you may have to install like a heat sink onto it as well. So it's not just, you know, pop in a memory card and go. It's like complicated on top of complicated. And I know some people are like, oh, it's not that bad. But for like the average user, they're not going to know what to do here. Like, I'm not even sure I know what to do. And I took apart my Xbox One X and like re-soldered the GPU, like the redid the thermal paste on it.
Yes, I think we've all, I mean, with the 360, I had to do that when I was trying to, like, you know, carve a few more months out of it.
Right. So yeah, like we may have pulled this stuff apart, but like, I don't know, this seems like overly complicated for a little bit of extra memory. I guess it's not a little bit. But.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think the problem is that it's fundamentally, it's a very basic part of video games now. I mean, for better or worse, it's been a standard since the PS3, Wii, 360 generation that you find some method of expanding the memory that comes internally. That's just the way it's been, like SD cards, external hard drives. And the fact of the matter is that you're making it like, you're creating that divide into that one thing that a lot of people have always been afraid of PC for, is that you have to open the gut and know what you're doing, where it's not just like, okay, you take this hard drive out, you side it back in like you did with like the Xbox at one, or even the 360 had like the little, you press the button and you replace that
hard drive. Slide the whole thing off the top.
Yeah.
Came right off. Yeah.
Yes. This is literally like opening up your system, and I can go wrong when that happens. So it seems like a very dangerous game, and I'm curious. I'm also curious in terms of like warranty, because a lot of the times, once you open a system, you void that warranty, technically speaking. I don't know how Sony words theirs, but if you are actively encouraging people to be like, yeah, we know like our memory shit, here's a method to increase it, but you have to void your warranty, seems kind of messed up to me.
So I don't know on that end, like I'm assuming that you opening up your PS5 does not void the warranty, but like it might with some other stuff, simply because this is an option. But they do specifically state that if this bricks your system, it's not Sony's fault. Like they're going, this is on you. You can do it. We've opened up the ability for it to be used. But if you fuck it up, you fuck it up.
Rest in peace, your system.
So I'm not going to be a guinea pig for this. I'll tell you that.
There's no way. New.
These things were hard enough to get as it was. Like I'm certainly not going to brick it and then have to find a new $500 system.
Oh.
It's crazy. I get that the Xbox way of you know, there's this proprietary, it's a basically like a memory card that you slot in the back. It's one price for one size. I get that is like not the best way either, but I feel way more comfortable buying an off the shelf thing I just plug into the back of my Series X, and that it will work, than me opening up the PS5 and, you know, not installing a heatsink correctly and it frying my system.
Yeah.
So, good luck anybody out there trying to do this.
Well, let's, I mean, what's going to happen is, you know, we're going to have like a big secondhand market of people who are just around to install these hard drives for you, kind of like when, you know, like how people go to get their phones jailbroken.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, it'll probably be good for like, and I don't have one close by anymore, but like mom and pop, video game stores, like independent video game stores where, yeah, they were doing like, they would do repairs on like older consoles. So this is probably something that they'll take on as well. Which I don't know. I never brought a console in to get repaired from one of those places, but people do. So I assume that if they fuck it up, that they cover it for you. So, oh, and Earl, you shared this earlier in the group chat. Mario Golf Super Rush added some new stuff.
Yes. Oh, right. That, and we'll get to Pokemon Snap in a second, I guess. But yeah, it added. I wish Jeff, because I think he's faded more than. Or he's faded. I have not. But it added a new course. It added a new player in Toadette, and it added rank on 9 gameplay. So I think it's. It feels like content that would at least get a few more days, if not weeks, out of the game. But again, I feel like this is because I know Jeff was complaining about the lack of content. So I'm curious to hear how much this changes stuff.
I'm interested in like putting it back in the system and checking out the new course. Like New Donk City sounds like a fascinating place to have a golf course.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the other courses. They're not like quite they're not as zany as you would think, right? Like for a series that is, you know, super creative, these are kind of just golf courses for the most part, except for maybe the Bowser level. So one out of the six is like a kind of like creative course with like lava and stuff. So I think I might jump in and play like a round on New Donk City. And Toadette's always cute, so I'm happy she's there. And Jeff was, though, he was getting a lot of play out of it with people in his household, so hopefully we'll get an opinion on that when he gets back.
But yes, but yes, and then there's Pokemon Snap, which I think caught a lot of people by surprise. They added like 2 new locations and more Pokemon to the game, which I actually didn't think they'd get DLC for, but here we are. And I have not actually paid attention to it. This is one of the, I will say being on vacation has just been great for my mental health as to not checking Twitter constantly. So I don't know what the reception has been to the actual DLC.
I'll tell you this. I did not see anybody talking about it. So.
I guess counterpoint. Have you seen many people talk about it before? Well, no, it was very visible on social media. A lot of people were talking about it when.
About the game when it came out? Yeah.
Yeah. They would post pictures and stuff. But yeah, I've not seen a ton in terms of the DLC. So I don't know if that's a bad thing or if it's just not like as meaty as. But I mean, the fact that it's still free and it kind of came out of nowhere, I think, has people excited.
Yeah.
And I hate to keep this going, but I don't know if any of you watch this. I don't. The Anna.
Annapurna?
Yes, they had a thing last week, right?
Yes, they did. I did not watch it, everything I've heard about what they showed seems great. Everyone seemed to love it.
Okay.
There's that game with the cat, which I can't think of right now. you play Stray. As a cat. Stray, yes. People were really raving about that.
Yes, they were showing off previews, and that game's not coming till next year. Why?
Looks super cute, though.
It does. I want to play. I want to be a cat.
Yeah. So I can't comment much on what they showed, but the buzz I saw from Twitter. Was that people seem to like what they were showing. So good on them. I think that's it, though. Unless you guys have anything else.
I am tapped out.
All right. The Back for Blood beta is going. I'm going to try and get a code for that. So if I do, I believe that I get a... I think you get 3 friend codes as well, so I'll pass them to you guys.
Ooh.
Try that out.
Gimme.
And we should probably try and finish up zombies at some point.
That's right. One day. I think I'm in this. This Tuesday works for me. Miraculously.
I will be a coin toss for Tuesday.
Okay.
So yes, that, I mean, it's the flip side of stuff kind of reopening. Granted, at this rate, that will be a very long time. Is that like making fans? We will see though. We will see.
Well, we got 3 months. Three months before Back for Blood hits, so
yes.
we can do it.
I'm just saying that, like, yeah, we'll at this rate, we'll be back home all together again in the fall. So.
Yep. All that freedom that we got will dissipate. So, all right. Well, Earl, say goodnight.
And farewell. Good night.